Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Father, we are grateful to you because you are our God who answers prayer. We thank you because your eyes have turned again towards us because of what you want to do in our time and in our generation. Our Father, we thank you for these men and women that you have been deliberately preparing to bear with you in this end time a kind of lifestyle that fits the heavenlies. So Lord, we ask that as we've gathered, we want to touch you. We want to meet you. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We want you to speak deeply to our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we stand against every distraction. We stand against everything that is contrary will in our midst. We ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, such things be subdued before us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you will speak with us in such a simple language that we can understand. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Our theme for this solemn assembly is living and laboring for eternity. And it is appropriate tonight, while we will not begin to dwell too much yet on the issues that God is going to be raising in the course of this meeting, I just intend to share with you briefly tonight understanding eternity. That is, what is eternity? It appears to me that until a man understands what we mean by eternity, he might not be able to prepare for it properly. And even though tonight I feel it's very important to introduce you to the matter of eternity, I also want to confess that we cannot exhaustively discuss the matter of eternity as we are sitting here. But I perceive that it's still important to have a little insight into what it is that we are calling eternity. And if God will help you understand what it is, then our preparation, our living, and our laboring towards eternity will become more meaningful to us. And we'll be able to pursue what God is asking us to do with all our strength and with all our heart and with all our might by the grace of God. Amen. Whereas eternity is spread in terms of concept all through the Bible, yet I found that why it is generally accepted that yes, there is an eternal life, or there is an everlasting life, or there is an eternity in the heavenlies, I found that for majority of believers, eternity is vague. Eternity is not fully understood. Eternity is discussed very vaguely because we don't know what exactly we are talking about. And though there are many, many passages that we would like to read, I just want us to read a very short illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, and from there we will say one or two things and we shall be praying together just for tonight. My prayer is that God Himself will bring to us a deep conviction by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Will you turn your Bibles to the book of Mark? I want you to go with me quickly to the book of Mark. Mark. When you get to the book of Mark, go to chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark and chapter 9. When you get to Mark chapter 9, are you already in Mark 9? Right. I want you to go quickly to verse 43. We will read verse 43, and I would like to read it on just to complete the chapter in verse 50. Mark 9, 43, down to verse 50. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for you to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend you, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. May the Lord bless His word as we deliberate briefly on it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let me first note that what we have read is not a parable. You know, there are many times Jesus spoke parables. And the Bible is very faithful, they say, and Jesus told them another parable. Sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ may tell a story. The Bible is very faithful to say, and He told them a story. A certain man was going down to Jericho. But there are other times that the Lord Jesus Christ never speaks parable, neither is he speaking a story, but he's speaking a mystery, a reality that is in the beyond. You remember he told Nicodemus, "So if I tell you the things of the earth and you do not understand, how will you handle it if I should tell you the things of the heavens? No man has ever ascended to heaven except him who came down from heaven." So the first thing I want you to note as you are looking at this scripture is that the passage you are reading here is not a parable. It is not an illustration. It's an instruction. And it's a repeated instruction that drew my attention, that I'm saying, "Lord Jesus, why did you have to repeat this over and over and over and over again? Why did you speak so strongly? You speak so strongly as if you want to scare people away." But I soon realized that anybody who understands eternity has to speak strongly about anything that can jeopardize your life eternally. Are you hearing me? Let me begin by saying that everything in this world, none of it is eternal. Are you hearing me? Everything in this world, what did I say? None of it is eternal. Actually, 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15, 16 and 17 says, he said, "This world is passing away. And what? And all the lust thereof, they are passing away." Anything that is of the earth is going to pass away. There is nothing that is of any permanent feature that is on the earth. They are going to pass away. Everything. But when we talk of eternity, we are talking of permanence. We are talking of unfadingness. We are talking of that which once it is, it will always be. Hallelujah. We are talking about when you enter into eternity. Eternity is not measured in terms of time. It is not measured in terms of change. Actually, in eternity, there is no change. There is what? Not a single change. In eternity, there is no growth. Whereas, as you are sitting here, you are open to grow. Who is open to grow? Let me see your hand up. Yes. You hope to grow. Everybody is eagerly longing that what I am today is not what I'm going to be next year. I want to advance. But I want you to know that everything about advancement, everything about growth, everything about improvement, everything about enlargement, everything about positive change or negative change, they are alien to eternity. Such language is not known in eternity at all. Eternity talks about constancy. Eternity talks of permanence. Eternity talks about rigidity. Once eternity happens to a man, his state is permanent. Nothing can change it. Nothing can improve it. Now, eternity is when you stop, when you step into eternity, you have stepped into something that you cannot change. And you cannot affect it. And you cannot improve on it. When you talk of eternity, you are talking of perfectness. You are talking of it has reached the extent to which it can ever reach, and it can never pass where it has reached. Neither can it reduce from where it has reached. It has reached and it has reached, and it's going nowhere anymore. That's what eternity looks like. Now, the Lord Jesus, wanting his disciples and all the people that were listening to him to understand what eternity looks like, he decided to take an aspect of eternity in order to drive home the issues. Hallelujah. What was it? He began to explain something that is very, very paramount about eternity. And I want you to look at it from the verse that we read. We will read it very casually, but my prayer is that you won't be casual about it in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, if your hand offend you, that is, if your hand is going to make you unable to be properly placed after here, what did he say you should do? Cut it off. And you know Jesus, he said, it is better for you to enter into life maimed. Now, that's the first question I wanted to ask. Are you not in life? What other life is he saying you will enter? Eh? Now, I want you to listen. When we talk of life, we are not talking of existence. We are not talking about just being existing. We are not talking about, oh, I woke up and I'm going out and I'm wearing my dress, so I am alive. In the concept with which Jesus Christ was speaking, he wants us to catch an understanding that what he calls life has to do with what? Eternity. Hallelujah. Even though you are sitting here, you say, but I'm living. Yes, I don't want you to confuse that. We are all here. But I wish you will know that this that we are living is but a step. It's like a passage into eternal life, into eternity. And so I saw Jesus wanting the people to understand that there is something we enter for which your present existence is only to make you prepare. Am I confusing you? Let me say what I'm saying again in case you have not understood me. Since the day you were born, and all through the number of years you are going to spend here on earth, you are only preparing to determine where you will be placed. Where? In eternity. Every man is given a chance to live in this world in a temporary condition so that he can by himself make a choice of what place he wants to be in eternity, where there will be no more change. Am I speaking clearly to you now? Are you understanding? If you spend 60 years in this world, I want you to know that 60 years is long in your eyes because you don't understand eternity. When you understand eternity, they said 1,000 years is like how many days? It's like one day. And one day is like 1,000 years. Why did they put that? In eternity, time doesn't matter. They don't count years. Because after you have spent 1,000 years, it will appear as if you have just lived one day. Those that have spent 1,000 years in eternity, they are still feeling so young, as if they have just been born in one day. Are you understanding me now? So if 1,000 years appear like one day, you can understand that the issue is that eternal life or eternity is infinity. And now, that's where I want you to think. In my heart, I am understanding something. What am I understanding? I'm understanding that I have been given a chance to be alive and to walk through this world in order to deliberately make a choice of what I'm going to be and where I'm going to be. Where? In eternity. Listen, are you listening to me? If it was possible that it is when I get to eternity, I will make my choice. And it is in eternity, I will start doing things that will place me there. Don't you know it will have been better? But unfortunately, once you step into eternity, you can't change your mind. Because there is no change. Hey, I wish I'm being clear. Am I clear? Once you step into eternity, what did I say? You can't change your mind. You cannot change your location. You cannot change your choice. You can't change anything. In fact, you don't make any choice there. You must have made your choice here because you can't change. So what is eternity? Eternity is a final, everlasting state in which every one of us is going to enter. But that choice, you will not make it in eternity. When will you make it? You will make it in time. So my brothers and my sisters, I must inform you before I go ahead that you are already, if you don't know, you are already making a choice of what your eternity will look like. What you are doing now, you are simply writing unconsciously to you what your eternity should read. So when this theme was brought, living and laboring for eternity, my own first reaction, I say, oh God, there's a problem now. God does not want you to wake up on the other side in eternity, and you put your finger in your mouth and say, if I had known. Can I tell you? May it not happen to you in the name of Jesus. If you wake into eternity with your finger in your mouth, had I known, this is how your finger will be in your mouth for 10 years? I'm not hearing you. For 20 years? That after some time, you will remove it and say, I thank God, everything has changed now. Is it possible? When you enter into eternity with regret, you will forever live in regret. If you enter into eternity with a sense of unfinished assignment, forever, you will keep living with a sense of unfinished assignment in your life. So I must tell you quickly that yes, you are living now. Are you hearing me? In order to make a choice of the life you want to enter into eternity. If it were possible that somebody will live for some number of years and then he will die and then he will go to eternity and they will say, brother, is that what you did? We have judged you and we have realized that you didn't do well. Quickly go now. Go and relive. So that we can rewrite your eternity. If that was possible, it would not have been serious. But what does the Bible say? It is given unto man once. How many times? Once to die. And after that, what is that? Judgment. When they talk of judgment, they are, my mind, my understanding is after that, placement in eternity. I don't pray it happens. But if I should die now, my eternity is what? Is set. I can say, oh, master, I wanted to do this. No. You know you have stepped into eternity where there is no improvement? I was saying to some people one time, I said, when you enter heaven on level one, if there is something like that, on what level will you be forever? You will be on level one. You see, when you join a job and they put you on level 4, if you spend some years, let's say after 20 years of meritorious service, you are likely to have been brought to level 9 or sometimes level 10. I have seen boys that join bank as a what? Clerical officer. They didn't have their GCE when they went to bank. But after years of service, some of them rose, not just to bank manager, but to MD of banks because of in-service training. Maybe you don't know that all of those things, they are only possible where? On earth. When you step into eternity, sir, there is no promotion. You won't be promoted. You won't grow. You will not advance. There will be nothing new to know. Everything you need to know, immediately you step into eternity, you will know it. So Jesus wanted people to understand what eternity is all about. He began to speak. He said, look, it is better for you to enter into life, how? Maimed, than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Some people argue and say, well, he only used fire figuratively. I don't know what figure it is. But I think this passage is very clear. Is it clear? He said, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. When Jesus is repeating something twice in a sentence, I think you should take note of it. You know, I was saying, why did he talk about worm? Do you know that worm in this world is the easiest thing to kill? Eh? Eh? If you see earthworm here now, and you want to kill it, do you need cutlass? What do you do? Just put your feet on it and rub it like this, rub it like this. The thing is dead. You can kill a worm here on earth with your leg. But when worm enters eternity, as little as it is, without a bone, it will never die. Just to tell you that even worm in eternity, they become permanent. Even if you put your feet on the ground and you rub it and rub it and rub it, worm will say to you, if we were on the other side in the world, I would have died. But here, no. This is permanent. Friends, now Jesus said to go into hell with your two hands where their fire is never quenched. And you don't understand the meaning. If the fire is not quenched, listen. If what the fire is consuming is consumable, at least it will finish. Am I correct? There are two ways you can quench fire. What is the first way? Bring water, pour on it. It will quench. The second way by which you quench fire is if what fire is consuming, like firewood, if it is finished, what will happen to the fire? It will quench. But now we are talking of where the fire is not quenched. It's not quenched because it cannot be quenched. And it's not quenched because what it is burning cannot be burnt. Do you understand? So imagine that someone is being tortured with fire and the fire is not reducing and itself is not dying, so that the fire will not get anything to consume again. Eternity. If you enter eternity on the side of pains, how many years will you suffer pains? It's forever. And my friend, you may be relaxed here. You may be saying, we are brothers. I want you to know that If it is eternity that I'm understanding, that we are talking about, I'd like you to be careful that you are not doing something that will wrongly place you in eternity. The reason is because when we get to eternity, the best of Christian brothers cannot change your situation. The reason is because there's no change there. Eh? You can't call a brother and say, "Bro!" The brother will look at you and say, "But why are you calling me? Don't you know that the goal is fixed? Don't you know that I've entered into my permanence? And you have entered into your own permanence? And everything is permanent. And as it is now, so will it be. For how many years? Forevermore." The only way we could understand eternity was to understand God. That's why our fathers in the old creed, they said, "As it was in the beginning, so it is now, and forevermore shall be." Amen. "As it was in the beginning, so it is now, and forevermore it shall be." Amen. Tonight, we are gathering for this meeting to prepare for eternity. If there is no eternity, I will tell you to eat, to drink, to dance, for tomorrow we shall die. If there is no eternity, I will tell you to cool down. Because after all, a rich man will die, and a poor man will die. I will tell you, don't worry too much, since everything will end here. But I want to inform you that what you are going through now is only an opportunity to determine your placement in eternity before you step there. And I want to conclude by asking you, what are you doing about that? If you understand, I will ask you to think very deeply. What are you doing about where you want to spend your own eternity? But I hear Jesus say, if you have discovered that your hand is going to make you offend, cut it. Because according to Jesus, and I'm wondering, oh, you are the one who are wondering with me, that it's better to enter life with your hand maimed than for you to enter eternity in hell with your two hands, where their fire is not quenched, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. And if that foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for you to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where there is one, there is not, and the fire is not quenched. Let me wait there. When he came to verse 47, he says, to enter into the kingdom of God. So I discovered that what he had been talking, if you want to enter into life, enter into life, what exactly does it mean? The kingdom of God. I want to put it to you tonight before we go to sleep. We are gathered in this solemn assembly because it looks as if God is saying, many people are living their lives without understanding that the brief time you spend here is only to position you where? In eternity. The day I understood eternity, I was afraid. When God began to show me that every time here is only but a small dot of an elongated line of eternity, my understanding became too much when I realized that, oh, every day here is like a point on a long line, but that line is eternity. And so whatever I did on this point, it has an eternal consequence. And it is only in eternity that it will be played back. They say, Bragbile, on so-so day, in so-so-so place, and at so-so-so time, you did this, thereby jeopardizing your eternity. We try to remove it, but it is eternal. And they will say, Brother Billy, on so-so-so day, congratulations. You made a choice. And this particular choice has positioned you on this side of eternity. Congratulations. And yet, every choice that every one of us will make, when shall we make it? Now in time. So when we talk about living for eternity, we are talking about living, making choices that will position you properly in eternity. When we talk about laboring, we are talking about doing something that eternity will keep in record, so that when you step in there, you will be meeting it. Let me conclude by just showing you something very quickly. That's the end of it. I'm not reading it because there's no time. But do you remember Jesus? He told the story of the rich man and the poor man. Do you remember? They told us the name of the poor man. They call him Lazarus. But that's not all I want to talk about. I just want to tell you something that struck me. The Bible said, when the two of them died, the rich man immediately, not 5 minutes after, immediately, he was ushered to where, please? To hellfire. Immediately, the poor man died. He was ushered into paradise. They call it the bosom of Abraham. Don't argue with me about that. Are you hearing me? Wherever you want to go, you can go there. But Jesus said, this man went to the bosom of Abraham, and they were speaking intelligible things. When the rich man got to hellfire and he saw torment, and according to scripture, has that man's torment stopped? You're not answering me. The fire has been quenched. The little worm in his body has died. Right now, even as I'm talking, that man is still crying there. But you know what they told him that bothered me? This man got to hellfire, and there was not a single drop of water to cool his tongue. Not a single drop of water to cool his tongue. And he began to beg, Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he might dip his one finger, let him dip it into water, and let him come and touch my tongue, that he may cool my tongue. You have had and you have squandered and you have spent all your own on earth. And here you are in torment. There is not a single drop of water that we can offer you here. You finish your own. When? On earth. I don't know whether he lived 100 years. But he spent all that eternity could have kept for him. He spent it in 100 years. If he lived up to 100 years. If you call what he went through as an enjoyment for 100 years. Only to face eternal years, uncountable years, infinite years, with not a single drop. Friend, he cried, oh, Father Abraham, please! He still cried, but nobody answered him. They said, beside, you have nothing here that we can give you. Say, but you see this man? He is entering into his own rest now. Not because he was poor. So listen to me. We are not talking about being poor. We are talking about what you do in time in order to determine your placement. Where? In eternity. The man said, oh, Father Abraham, I have five brothers. Permit me to go and preach. They said, sorry. It is given unto man once to die. After that, your placement in eternity. You can't go there. He said, but please send Lazarus. Let him go and preach to them. So that they will not use their time in life. To do what? To choose the wrong side of eternity. That man knew now that it is in life, are you hearing me, that you choose your placement. Where? In eternity. That man knew now that repentance
is only possible where?
Here.
In eternity. What did I say? There's no change. Even if you want to change, you want to change for God, it's impossible. Even if you want to pray very powerfully, it's of no use. In eternity, no prayer. Are you hearing me? No prayer. In eternity, no Bible study. As you see me standing here, I know, I'm not confused in my mind, that all the Bible teaching I have to teach, when will I do it? Now, after here, no teaching. Nobody will tell another, no God. We know Him as He is. There's no need for anybody to describe Him, because you will see Him as He is. Even unbelievers, they will see God as He is. Nobody needs to say, that is God, that is God. No. Ministry will end here. Preaching ends here. Every form of service ends here. After here, we don't need it. You only stand in eternity to be placed where you belonged. They told him, they said, they have prophets. They have Moses. Let them hear them. We are not sending anybody from the dead to preach. Sometimes you are confused. Say, well, maybe if we go and bring the man who said he rose from the dead, people will repent. You are joking. I just play. May the Lord help you. I want us to stop here. What do I want to ask you to do tonight? You know why? Even though we have set this meeting that it will end Saturday night, the way I'm thinking of eternity, it does not permit me to say, let's postpone your decision until Saturday. I'm afraid of that. You hear me? I'm afraid of that. When you describe eternity, the other way in which we misunderstand eternity, because eternity is eternal, we think it is far. But when you read the Bible very well, it said there's only one step between life and death. Is that what the Bible said? Just one step. So eternity is how many steps away? Just one step. Just one step. Eternity is just one step away from there. May the Lord not allow you to step into eternity when you have not made a proper choice in time. You know what Jesus said? Do you know anything in your life today that can offend you? You know, when he says it offends you, I was wondering, does someone who is fornicating, using his hand here and there, does that hand offend him? In my mind, I'm saying, maybe I've not understood. I know when eternity appears, it is then the things that you have enjoyed that made you make a wrong choice will become what? A terrible offense. You will wish, why did I do it? But you see, you don't even need to get to eternity before you understand what I'm saying. Have you seen somebody who married a man who was a very, very, he promised that many things, and for the sake of that man, you ran away with him, contrary to the instruction of your parents. And then, 2 years into the marriage, the man changed. He began to deal with you. you can no longer be a young girl. Am I right? You can no longer be unmarried. You try to come back to your parents. Your parents said, didn't we tell you? You go and meet the young man. Say, but why are you dealing with me like this? He said, I'm sorry. If you cannot cope with me, go and do your worst. What will you do? When you remember his photograph, the one he gave you when he was cutting you, what do you feel like doing to that photograph? You tear it. When you remember your wedding program, the way he was doing as if he was sincere, what do you feel like doing to those photographs? You feel like smashing them. Whenever he's entering the house and you are thinking of how this man wrecked your life and will not let you become anything again, and all those other men that were running after you that time who would have been correct husbands, they can't come back again. In fact, several of them are married. As you see them moving with their own wives and feeling good, and you are living like a widow, you will now discover that love that you was excited about has become an offense. I want to tell you, whether you like it or not, the things that you enjoy today that makes you make a wrong choice in eternity, they will become an offense to you. Eh? You will, I don't know, let me not just imagine it, but they will become a terrible offense. As we pray tonight, I don't want you to say, I've been going for a discipleship class. I'm talking beyond discipleship class. I'm asking you, are you preparing for eternity? What you are doing now in time, does it place you properly, eternally? Are there little things you are permitted in your character, in your life? Are there some sinful habits? Are there some things that you have cherished and you are not letting go? Are there some things that you are arguing about? Are you keeping malice with somebody? And you don't understand. Jesus said, if anybody says in the light and he hates a brother, he's in darkness. And that man does not have eternal life dwelling in him, is a murderer. And I'm asking you, what can anybody do to offend you that you will be jeopardizing your eternal position? For what? What are you arguing about? And you are not thinking of eternity. If I take 3 months to keep malice with somebody, you know my problem. Can I tell you my problem? There will be 3 months. But that will be 3 eternal months that heaven will be querying and say, what did you do in these 3 months? Did you know that all those dates of those 3 months, they are eternal? What did you do? And there are things that I'm afraid about, that once a day pass, I can't repeat it. How many of you can repeat yesterday again? My mind is jumping. I say, God, I don't want to enter eternity with empty gaps. And I said, give account. Why was this place vacant? Why did you do this? And I will be there speechless. And eternity will be staring at me and say, oh, sorry, you made a wrong choice. If it is your hand, if it is your eye, if it is your mouth, if it is your leg that is pushing you into offense, will you cut it tonight? Are you sitting here, you have not made up your mind properly? You said you are a Christian, but you are still living in sin. You said you have decided to follow Jesus, but somebody is still tampering with your body. You said that you are a Christian, and yet the devil is your friend. You said you are a child of God, but you are still telling lies. And when you have read over and over, I say all liars. All liars. Whether white lie, or black lie, or yellow lie. Whether liars on the pulpit who say what didn't happen. Liars in the market who bought something for 500 naira and say, "Kai, just because of you, just because of you, the cost price is just 800 naira. And I'm not charging you for anything, no transport, nothing. Brother, just for you, just bring 800, cost price. What else can I do to help you as my brother?" All liars. All liars! Do you think you must be in business to tell lies? I wonder what you are doing with your eternity. If eternity is when you get there, you decide how you will arrange it, it will not have been a problem for me. But do you know that as you are sitting here, you are already writing much of your eternity? And if God does not have mercy on you, to blot out and give you a fresh opportunity to make a correct choice, eternity may be very, very fearful. I put it to you tonight. Familiarity with the work of God, familiarity with the servants of God, familiarity with the brethren does not change your position in eternity. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you preparing? Are you preparing? This meeting is a solemn meeting because God is asking us to prepare you to make the right choices. Because eternity is a place where nothing changes. No choices. Everything is permanent. May the Lord help you. We will come tomorrow. We'll be speaking about many other things. About living in the light of eternity. And laboring in the light of eternity. We're going to talk about that, I believe. But I first wish you will understand what eternity is. And if you have understood what eternity is, I want you to bow your head and think. Am I preparing? Am I harboring something? Am I harboring something that can misplace me in eternity? Am I becoming involved in something that will not allow my eternity to be clear? Lord, what am I doing with my eternity? Tonight is a very important night. I couldn't wait and say, okay, since we are just building the meeting, tomorrow, next tomorrow, maybe you will come into something. If tonight, the Holy Ghost is beginning to challenge you and beginning to speak very clearly to your heart, I plead with you in the name of Jesus Christ, do something. Is there a girl that since you say you have started courtship, always been making you to fall back into sin? What are you doing with that girl? Jeopardizing your own eternity. What enjoyment are you getting? Destroying your own eternity. The master said, cut it. Cut it. Do you have a sister? Do you have a man, a brother? So called, but he is pushing you into the other side. What are you doing with it? And what do you want to do tonight? Must we start this meeting and you are not sure of anywhere you are going? Thank you. While you are bowing down to pray, this is going to be a personal step you are going to take and say, God, that thing that I am knowing, that thing that I am involved in, that thing that is secretly eating my life, that thing that is secretly pushing me here and there, that thing that will not allow me to make a right choice for my eternity, it must go tonight. It must go tonight. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, please come among us. Come with your convicting power. We have come into a generation where men no longer fear, where we have become familiar with great things. We even joke. And we have raised believers who no longer tremble, who have become casual. Will you come tonight, Lord? Come down in this meeting. Every hidden things of darkness, expose it. Let our eternity be jeopardized. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that every goal of bitterness, everything that could make a man to miss his place, tonight, Lord, as we place our finger on it, uproot it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask, come among us and walk. As some hearts are going to say, Lord, for me, I don't want to hide. I don't want to pretend. I didn't know that eternity is as serious. As many as are responding to your spirit here tonight, please, Father, draw them to yourself. The enemy of our soul that says it doesn't matter, please silence him here tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lord, stand here with us. Stretch forth your right hand, O God, that as many as are coming to you and say, Lord, I need help, that they may find help in your presence. In the name of Jesus. Now time is here. It's your turn to pray. Did you sense that tonight, if eternity is what God is talking about, if eternity is somewhere that you make a choice here and it will be eternal, is it correct for you to sit down when you know nobody needs to be pressing it? You sense that, look, I am not properly placed yet. God, change my location. Where are you? Your spirit is saying, tonight, not tomorrow, make your life right with God. Make your life right with God. Others may say it doesn't matter, but you know that something is not right in your life. Can you lift up your right hand and actually can you stand where you are and walk to the altar and say, God, make me right? Don't tell someone to join you because this is not a ceremony. Don't ask somebody to come along. This is not something that you are doing as a ceremony. And if you are coming, you must know why you are coming. Routine activities will not solve this problem. If the Holy Ghost is saying to you, Something has to be made right here. Something has to be made right here. You won't say, but I've been going for meetings. I've been going for programs. I've been going for this. I've been going for that. That does not answer eternity. That does not answer eternity. If you are coming, and your heart is crying, is there something you have been hiding? Is there an habit of life that you have been hiding, my dear friend, my dear sister? Did you sit in the fellowship of God's people, but you do not belong? Is it in eternity you want to surprise us? Is it in eternity you want us to say, where is this brother? They said, no, take him on the other side. Holy Spirit, we are pleading with you tonight. We plead with you tonight. Come among us. Please, Lord, come among us. Lord, come among us. In the name of Jesus. Friend, in the name of Jesus, I don't want you to just pray an empty prayer. Do you know that Jesus was very definite? Say, if it is your hand, be definite about it. Don't say, let me just cut anything. Your hand, your eye, your leg. Something in your life that has brought you down, you must pinpoint it. Friend, are you listening to me? Please listen, in the name of Jesus. Listen. Are you listening? I'd like you to know, this is not the time to pray in tongues. You must pray with your understanding. You must be speaking from your heart. Even though the devil, he's very, very cunning, and he's behind all your temptation, but the question now is not the devil. You can't repent for the devil. It is that there is something you offered that the devil has used. There's something you have offered that the devil has grabbed. If you cut it off now, you will suddenly discover that the devil has nothing to hold in your life again. Didn't Jesus say, the prince of this world come, but he has found nothing in me? He has found nothing in me. What is it that the enemy is finding in your own life? That's what we are talking about tonight. Cut it off. Now, are you still in the congregation tonight? Your spirit is restless, but you are too concerned about your position. So you are feeling ashamed. How can I go out? I will do it privately. I want to warn you. Eternity is a step away. If your life needs help now, Just stand up quietly and join this man. Be on your knees before we pray together. Thank you, my friend. You can't say, but they will say. Nobody will say. Nobody will say. What do I want to say? Do you want to maintain a reputation with somebody and heaven does not know you? Nobody will say. What matters tonight is for your life to be right. Thank you, my friend. If you are coming, do quick now. There is no time for me to say we are waiting. Let this meeting bring an end to everything that can misplace you in eternity. Anything at all. Lord, anything at all. Anything at all. If you are coming, just confess and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Here am I. In the name of Jesus. Please, it remains one more thing. Just one more thing. Listen. Some people may say, even the level at which I have reached in the discipleship work in Peace House, will I not be a disgrace to my discipler if I go out? I want to warn you. Be very careful of such flimsy excuses. Eternity is not about your discipler. Your discipler himself is going to face his own eternity. I ask you tonight, don't say because you are serving with us a matter that you are struggling with privately, you want to cover it with activities and with preaching and with ministry. Eternity does not understand that too. You are not going to be a disgrace to me if you make your life right with God. Actually, you will be a disgrace to God and to yourself if eternity catches you on the wrong side. It will be terrible. So, let me give a chance for this 1 minute. Are you in between opinion tonight whether to settle this issue? Get on your knees quickly and get to the altar and say, Father, help my life. We are not dealing with hierarchies here. We are dealing with personal experience, personal encounter. May the Lord help you. Holy Spirit, if it is here you are coming, then you are too late. You need to run now. Thank you, my friend. If you are intending to come to the altar tonight, then we can't wait for you again. You've got to run now. You can't walk leisurely to this place anymore. You've got to run and get on your knees and say, Father, Father, help my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's all right now. Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord, will you please, while you are kneeling down, while you kneel down, while you kneel down, can you please listen, 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 listen. If tonight there is not a cutting off, then I don't know how serious your decision is. If you rise here, do you know that even men lived in righteousness because they were looking at eternity? The Bible said, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The Bible said,
Abraham had opportunity to have returned. But because they were longing for that which is eternal in the heavens, they refused to return back. They had opportunities. What are the opportunities that came for you to go back to sin, to go back to telling lies, to go back to foolishness, and you took it? It's because you lost sight of eternity. I'm hearing some of you saying, this thing is too difficult. What was the gain you are getting? I sincerely want you to repent and say, Father, I'm sorry. Tell the Lord, I'm sorry for living a double life. I'm sorry for standing in between opinion all the years. I'm sorry for being an hypocrite. I'm sorry for not working properly. I want you to have mercy on me tonight. I am here to cut it off. I am here to make my life, lay it at your feet. I'm here to receive the provision you have made for my deliverance. I'm sorry, oh God, for standing in between opinion, neither hot nor cold. Tonight, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I open my heart to you. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Step into my life now and forgive me right now. Deliver me from this that has held me in bondage for years. Lord, help me tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'd like to pray. Holy Spirit, when we see what sin can do in wrecking a man's eternity, when we see how sin can throw a man away into the dustbin in hell, when we saw how a man had finished all his own enjoyment in sin, only to face eternity in torment forever. Lord, help us to understand the foolishness of sin tonight. The book of 2 Timothy said that they may see their foot, they may recover from their foolishness of sin. Lord, I plead with you tonight that for these ones that are kneeling down before you, let sin become foolish to them. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, Lord, and if to say that because you have been going for fellowship, heaven will say, put him in, even though he's not correct, but he's always in the fellowship. If they would have given that concession, it would have been alright. But when I heard Jesus say, many who called me Lord, Lord, I will tell them on that day, I never knew you. What is the use of coming for fellowship when we will end where those who never came will end? Will it not be a double punishment? Tonight, Lord, as many of these ones that are kneeling down, bring an end to their romance with sin in the name of Jesus. Every walk, because the Bible says, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. For whosoever is committing sins of the devil, it is the devil that has been sinning from the beginning. Father, tonight, manifest your power to destroy that work in their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight, whatever it will take, we are pleading for mercy. We plead for the blood of cleansing. We plead, oh God, we plead that the blood that was shed at Calvary will avail for these lives. And they will go to sin no more. In the name of Jesus. Lord, whether exaggeration, whether telling lies, whether the issues of hypocrisy, appearing to be right when there's nothing there, behaving publicly as a Christian but in the dark a compromiser. Tonight, my Father, let there be a turnaround in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please come. Can you tell Jesus, please come. Come into my heart. Come and deliver me. Come and set me free. Come and reign in my heart. Come and be the Lord. Come and let your fear, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, let it reign in my heart. From tonight, Lord, have your way. I surrender to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed.